9:04, good Saturday morning, everyone. Welcome to the Coach's Corner program here on KGYM for this sunny Saturday morning. Scott Unash with you as we're going to get ready to talk some boys soccer action with you here today as we take you through the 9 o'clock hour. Lots of action coming up later on today. Starts off with Twins baseball, Twins and the Yankees coming up at 11:30 on 107.5 FM. And then we've got Cubs and the Cardinals at 2:30 for you. That'll be on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM. And then the FMs will break away at 4 o'clock, and we will have coverage of the Kentucky Derby at that time. And then NBA basketball coming up tonight to close things up, as it'll be Golden State and Houston going at it. That is game number 3 of that series, and Golden State leads that 2-0. Let's take a look at what happened last night and a peek ahead what's coming up today. First of all, starting off in minor league baseball, Cedar Rapids fell last night at Dayton by a score of 4-3. Same two teams will go at it tonight out at Vet Stadium, and that will begin at 6:35. The Iowa baseball team, a big, big win yesterday as the Hawkeyes knocked off Cal Irvine in a big non-conference tilt, 6-3, as the Hawkeyes take game one of that 3-game series. UC Irvine rated 19th in the country. Also yesterday, it was Kirkwood beating Southeastern in a doubleheader. Southeastern winning game one, 8-2. Kirkwood winning 5-4 in the nightcap. Take a look at college softball from yesterday. Iowa beat Ohio State 1-0. Iowa State, in 9 innings on a walk-off home run, beat Kansas, that by a score of 3-2. Mount Mercy was eliminated from the Heart America Conference tournament here in town as they fell to Benedictine that yesterday by a score of 4-1. Today in softball, the American Rivers Conference tournament down in Pella continues the semifinals. Coe will take on Simpson, and Central will meet up with Dubuque. The winners will go at it in the championship game coming up later on today. That will be at 4 o'clock. Boys soccer, we'll talk about a couple of these games coming up. It was Jefferson getting a victory yesterday over Dubuque-Hempstead as they win it by a score of 6-0. Also yesterday, Cedar Rapids-Washington over Dubuque Senior, that by a score of 6-0. Cedar Falls beat Xavier 2-1, and Kennedy shut out Wallert yesterday, that by a score of 2-0, I say. That's the soccer, proper soccer terms for it. I want to get that taken care of. Girls soccer from yesterday. It was a Prairie over Western Dubuque. They shut them out 5-0. Xavier over Cedar Falls 5-1. It was Wallert over Kennedy 1-0. Senior beat Washington 1-0. City High over the Waterloo team 2-1. And Linmar over Iowa City West 5-0 yesterday. Some boys tennis action. Washington taking a pair, beating Dubuque Senior and Western Dubuque. It was Xavier shutting out Liberty 9-0. It was Hempstead over Kennedy 6-3. And Linmar topped Iowa City High yesterday by a score of 8-1. Coming up today in boys soccer action, Prairie will go to West Des Moines Valley later on this afternoon, and that will be a 5:45 start over there in central Iowa. Also in girls soccer action, Regina will be at Nevada. That will go off at 5:30. The Regina boys are at the Nevada tournament today. Boys golf, Marion will be at the South Tama Invitational going on today. College baseball action, Kirkwood again at Southeastern for a doubleheader. Iowa hosting UC Irvine, and that will be at 2 o'clock later today. Illinois College will be at Kirkwood for a doubleheader coming up later on today. College softball, UNI at Loyola 4-2. The American Rivers Conference Tournament continuing. Kirkwood at Iowa Lakes for a doubleheader this afternoon at 1 o'clock. And Iowa will entertain Ohio State. That will be a 1 o'clock start down at Pearl Field in Iowa City. The River Kings in action tonight on the road. They're in Des Moines to take on the Barnstormers. That will begin at 7:05. This evening. So a lot going on out there, and we actually have a fine spring day. So find an activity, take advantage of it, go out and see it, and take it in. We'll take a break, come back, and talk some soccer with you on the Coach's Corner on this Saturday morning. So stay with us. More to come right after this.
Car category names like SUV sound sterile, but the all-new Honda Passport is ready for real adventures. It could be in the skiing at sunrise category, since the Passport has a vast interior for hauling gear all day. Or it could be a greatness runs in the family vehicle, since Honda was named U.S. News' 2019 Best SUV Brand. Or you could name it after your adventures. Test drive the all-new Honda Passport today.
Hurry into your local Central Midwest Honda dealer or go to centralmidwesthondadealers.com for more details.
U.S. News and World Report, November 2018, based on available data for CRV, HRV, and Pilot. TCB Pool Hall isn't one of those joints with a table stuck in the back for atmosphere. Nah, TCB Pool Hall is legit. Straight up pool with 10 regulation full-size tables. You rent by the hour. They've got a darn respectable beer selection too, with 26 rotating taps and another 30-plus brews and bottles and cans. TCB isn't the place the kiddies play. You gotta be 21 to get in here. So skip the nonsense. Hang out, play pool, and drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Pedball, downtown Iowa City.
If you own a pair of Skechers, this ad is not for you, because you already know they're the most comfortable shoes on the planet. This ad is for those who have never tried Skechers, for the few who have never experienced the otherworldly comfort of Skechers air-cooled memory foam, ever floated across the ground on comfort pods, or experienced Skechers seamless knits. You're missing out. That's like never petting a puppy. So we've made this ad for you. Skechers. Live comfortably. Available at a Skechers store near you or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available now at Advance Auto Parts.
The Golden State Warriors take care of business at home. Now the series heads to Houston, where the Rockets face a critical Game 3.
Tonight, starting at 6:30 here on the gym, KGYM.
9:10 on the Coach's Corner on this Saturday morning here on KGYM, and baseball, basketball, horse racing. We got it all coming your way later on today right here on KGYM. You can check it all out at kgynradio.com. We'll have the complete listing as far as our broadcast schedule coming up right there. Going to talk some soccer with you here on the program today. John O'Connor joining us from Jefferson, J.P. Graham from Washington, and we'll talk with the guys here. Maybe we'll do a little crossover action. It's like a Sunday morning news show here.
Absolutely.
Guys, thanks for coming down. Appreciate it.
Wow, thanks for having us.
My pleasure.
And both coming off wins. That doesn't I try to have that happen a lot more than it does, but it's good to have that happen.
Yeah,
on
you
a
should
Saturday.
Schedule us more often. That way right. We get two wins all the time, right?
Indeed. Indeed. And let's talk Jefferson's win last night first against Hempstead, John, and 6-0 for the Jayhawks to come away with the victory, and third in a row now. So boys are playing well.
Yeah, our boys have really started to buy into what we're trying to get them to do. We started the year with a really young group that hadn't played together, and we really just tried to push the pace of the game. We have a lot of speed, not always a ton of great ball skill, but guys who work real hard and are willing to go very, very fast. And our goal last night was to put pressure immediately, and we were able to get a shot off, I believe, in the first 37 seconds. Didn't put that one away, but it kind of set the tone out of the gate for the boys to get excited about pushing the speed and pushing the envelope for the team. And that's really what our mantra is right now, is just how much can we push a team back with their speed, and hopefully we can get one on that end when it's our time.
Yeah, and speed helps in any sport. Doesn't matter.
It is, and it's one thing, I always tell people, you can't coach speed, but if you have it, there's ways to use it if you can get them to buy into certain things. So.
And they did it last night.
They sure did. Yeah, we're real proud of the way they've really tried to turn things around. We worked hard at practice on finishing. I know my partner here, he's big on finishing, and we've had to work real hard on trying to get boys to learn how to shoot. When they're going full speed, it's tough to get kids to understand. When they're in practice, they like to shoot when they're standing still. I keep telling them, you're not going to get that opportunity in the game. You got to shoot when you're going full speed, because that's when it matters. So they've worked hard at it, and I think it's starting to show for us. I hope we can keep carrying it forward.
Yeah, and then that was at Lower Kingston. And then, JP, you guys were up the hill.
Yep.
And you guys also 6-0 over Dubuque Senior. So your second win in a row, and good to get that one under your belt.
Yeah, like John said, we've been having some trouble finishing until this week, so it's been really nice to get not just a couple guys scoring, but multiple guys scoring, and then how quickly their confidence can turn around with just one goal. And as we start heading into the end of the season and into the postseason, that kind of confidence is huge, because you're always going to need somebody to score a goal. Somebody unexpected is going to have to score in a big game to kind of turn the tide or change the momentum of a game. So we want our guys to be confident here going into the last couple weeks and into the postseason. So it was important for a lot of guys last night to perform well.
Yeah, and they did. And Well, John talked about the speed, and what about the Warriors this year? I know that it's not exactly what you had in mind with the team, but how's it going so far?
Yeah, pretty good. We've taken some tough losses this year, but even in those losses, I couldn't complain because we played really, really well, and we're getting tons of shots off, and kids were playing hard. So even though our record doesn't look great, we're a pretty solid team, and I don't know how many teams are going to want to play us by the end of the season. So
yeah,
we're excited.
Well, and you put together kind of a murderous schedule.
Yeah, that's my fault. I like playing the toughest teams around. So,
but that gets you ready, though.
We're ready. I mean, yeah, we'll be ready. And the biggest thing, playing the toughest teams in the state, it really helps you see where you got to get to. And just not just fitness-wise, but mentally be able to play 80 minutes at a certain level is difficult, and people don't know where they're at until they do it. So, we've lost to all ranked teams, and like number one, number two, number five, number 10, and the other number one in 2A. So it's a way I like the schedule anyway. But plus you get this, hopefully if you see him again at the state tournament or in sub-state, you know, you kind of know what you're looking forward to. So
yeah,
I like it.
You could be the head of the rankings committee right now.
Yeah, I got off the rankings committee. I couldn't handle it more. My Sunday nights are so much less stressful now. I love it.
But you've seen a lot of them. That's for sure. That's for sure. And talk about the Warriors a little bit. It's an interesting group.
Yeah.
Interesting group. You've had some injuries.
Yeah.
We all know about that to kind of start the year off, but. You got some guys doing double duty. It's a very interesting group.
Yeah, we have Keaton Woods, our all-stater coming back from last year. He got injured in the Jamboree and was out the first 8 or 9 games and just came back and is just now getting his footing back. But he's a really good player and quick player. And last night he had 3 assists and a goal. And the assist part was what he was excited about, and which I was excited about, because teams just are going to collapse on him so quickly that if he can get rid of the ball, we're going to find guys wide open. And like I said, for those other guys to score last night and for him to get those assists and for everybody to be excited about it was huge for us. And then we have some other seniors. Brooks Papendick is our leading scorer right now. He kind of, when Keaton was hurt, he kind of took over, and he's got 10 goals. And then we have Rami Sheets, who's also the best tennis player in the state, or one of the best, I should say. Personally, I'm biased, but he's been playing great for us, and Grant Knutson, another senior. Our back line is really solid with those two guys back there. So, everybody's doing their part, and we just need to compete a little bit better at practice. I think that's the one thing we're going to do is just compete harder at practice and just kind of make each other better at practice. But once we start doing that a little better, we'll be really tough team to beat, as I mentioned.
Yeah, and, well, being a wrestling coach too, you know, competing hard at practice is perspective, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And what about Rami? Yeah, because you mentioned one of the top tennis players around there. How do you in the tennis program share his talents?
Well, luckily, we practice right next to the tennis court, so he doesn't have to go far. Usually, he starts with tennis first. And their workouts really don't last that long. So by the time we just warm up and then get into our first or second drill, then he usually joins us. So really, it's not too bad. Plus, their competitions are usually right after school, and we're usually at night. So we really don't have too much crossover. And he trains harder than everybody else. I mean, he trains all summer, both sports, and all fall. It's pretty amazing how much time and effort he puts into it. So he deserves everything he gets.
Yeah, and schoolwork on top of that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, great student. He committed to UConn to play tennis. So obviously his academics are good also. So we're really excited to see what he does in college with tennis.
Yeah, he's going to do very, very well. And the Jayhawks, how about this group? I know you got your top scorer, we all know from the winter and the basketball floor.
Yeah, Blaze Bozak. He's a three-point shooting machine in basketball, and for us, he's been our leading goal scorer, which was a surprise. He's never been a big shooter, but he and I talked at the beginning of the season about how being a senior, and we knew that we needed somebody to really step up, and he has taken that role wholeheartedly. But as JP said, the thing that I'm most impressed with, I think he's most impressed with, he also has 11 assists. And so he creates a lot on the right-hand side of the field for us, but he's got some great speed. But the thing I always tell people, he's got basketball vision. He sees the field so well, and he reads pathways and running windows and all those things. He sees them really, really well for us. And so he is by far our dominant senior leader. But then we've got a lot of guys around him that have really, really stepped up. We got a defender, Alex Maldonado, who last year came off the bench a little bit for us and was kind of an unknown player, and this year he has stepped up extremely well. His intensity on the field, both at practice and game, has really helped us kind of push that speed that we keep trying to do. He's always speaking at practice and even at games. You can always count on him flying up the right-hand side where he'll overlap Blaze and he'll end up as a forward. And, you know, JP can speak on this. It's when a defender comes out of the back line, most teams have no idea what to do, because it's an unmarked man, you don't expect him, and so he's willing to make that run. And then he's got an equivalent on the other side. We've got David Niagashima on the other side, and this kid, I'm pretty sure if we put him out on the track, would be one of our top 100-meter runners. And he just comes out of nowhere. He's got himself a whole bunch of goals because he does just – he appears in a place you wouldn't expect to see him. He's got three or four goals this year, and it's usually all on crosses that come through, and he's just waiting on the back post, and – he gets there, which you would never imagine to see your left back all the way up in that 18-yard box, because he'll run all day long. So those two guys with Blaze have really created a lot for us. Our forwards up top are pretty young, and they keep getting better every time they step on the field. We're working hard with them on shooting and, you know, how to make the right run versus, you know, trying to just stay in a position and hope you're going to get it. So they keep getting better every single game. And these last three games have given us the opportunity to work that. You know, the competition are great, you know, good teams, but we've had the ability to kind of do what we want to kind of practice the things that we need to see. So hopefully as we get into next week when we've got our remaining five teams are really solid. So we're going to have to find a way to continue what we've done. And hopefully we've learned a lot of things through these last three games where we've been able to put the ball on the back of that quite a few times. And that's really what, you know, Blaze has been the starter for it. He's been our mentality guru the whole time, getting the guys to focus at practice, focus at games. And because of his high energy and high speed, everybody else just follows.
Mm-hmm. He does realize, though, he doesn't get 3 points when he's beyond a certain arc, right?
He does. But he does like to cross from outside the 18-yard box. So I think he's just afraid of going past white lines is what it comes down to. So we'll take it, though, and because he's just a great young man. And just, you know, as always, you have those seniors you hate to see go. But he's done his time, and he's really been a good leader for us.
Really has been. And confidence has got to be up, I think, for the Jayhawks right now with this last week.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that we've been able to do what we want to do on the field has really allowed these young players to really start to develop some confidence. One of the things that we lacked out of the gate, especially when we played Washington, you know, we came out of the gate in that game, or I think we, you know, I think JB, we kind of dominated the game for the first 15 and 20 minutes, but they got frustrated because young players, when they think they're doing everything right and they're not getting goals, they then go away from it. They could think it's not working. And we went away from it, and then Wash was able to capitalize on some things. And they learned right away at the beginning of the season that, you know, if you got to stay with the game plan, don't get away from it just because you're not getting goals. Because, you know, the thing that people either love or hate about soccer is typically you don't get 11, 6, 7, 8 goals. It's one. It's two. And as Coach JP was saying, we know that we have that one player that's going to get a goal that nobody thinks should have been the goal scorer because we're doing what we need to do, and we have somebody in the right place at the right time. And that's really what the kids have really tried to figure out is, you know, we have to stay with the one we want, and the confidence right now is high, and I'm excited to get into next week when we start to see teams that are definitely going to make us work. We see Waterloo West, then we see Waller, and then we see Linmar all next week. So we'll have to be ready to roll, and then we finish our season with Iowa City West and Kennedy, who are two teams that are at the top of their game. So I'm excited for that, and I think our boys are excited as well.
Yeah, the season goes quickly.
Yeah, very fast.
Now it does, yeah.
Especially when the weather's lousy for the first half of the season right there. And JP, for your Wash team, you mentioned Keaton was out for a while.
Right.
And, you know, the Jamborees are great for every sport until that happens.
Yeah.
And you had it happen.
Right.
Thankfully, it doesn't happen very often. But,
no.
You mentioned he missed 7-8 games, something like that. But the rest of kids, though, they had to step up. And you probably found a few things, a silver lining a little bit, if you would,
for sure.
with Keaton out.
Yeah, I mean, in the initial diagnosis was far worse than it turned out to be. So we thought honestly, he was going to be done for the season. So all the kids, I don't want to say they took it in stride, but they realized that everybody was going to have to pick it up a little bit, pick it up a notch. And yeah, I think that helped us. It's going to help us in the long run for sure, that we know we can win without him, and having him is obviously just an extra bonus. So just kind of get it all to mesh is going to be pretty key here. Both the dynamics of both our teams have changed with the addition of a lot of ELL kids in all of our levels, and it's been really fun, as John mentioned, just trying to get these kids. They love soccer, number one. They love the sport more than anything, but they really have had no formal training, and just teaching them where to be on the field and when to pass and when to shoot and all these things. It seems so simple when you watch the game, but it's really much more difficult. So it's been real exciting for both our programs to work with these kids and teach them the game that they love so much. So that's kind of the future of our two programs, is just getting all these diverse people together and mesh them into one is really, you know, a joy for both our teams.
Yeah, and you know, I don't want to say how tough it is, but just there are challenges, obviously, and you got to come up with practice plans,
right.
To try to get that going.
I only have, you know, 5 or 6 languages on my team. I think John has closer to 15 or 16 languages on his team. So just basic communication, things that we take for granted, it just starts from there. I mean, we have kids that have to translate on our team for other kids just so that we make sure everybody's got a ride, you know? So it's really fun and, you know, frustrating at times. But, man, when you go home at night or you see him do something right, as John said, with his speed and athletes that he has playing forward, man, once they get a little bit better every day, it's to see that progress is so fulfilling.
Right, and that's I would imagine the same thing for you, John, as far as Jefferson is concerned. Yeah, the communication gap is probably maybe the toughest thing you guys have to deal with.
It is, and you know, at Jefferson within our team, we have a lot of fun with it. I mean, we know that the communication some days is a little bit tough, but the beauty of it is, like JP said, usually the boys help interpret within each other. The only problem, at least for me, is they'll be interpreting, and I don't know for sure exactly how it got interpreted until I see it, and then, okay, that's not exactly what that's supposed to be, so let's revisit it. But the thing about it is they love the sport, and they understand it, but it's like JP said, the formal training is something that they've just never had, and so trying to run a certain formation or to run a certain kind of emphasis within your game is something they've never had to think about before. And the best way I can explain it is if you watch like some basketball players that are street ball players and you put them on a court in a structured setting, they don't have the same kind of dynamic. Or when we play like 3-on-3, a lot of my EL kids are just unstoppable because it's just complete freedom to play how they want, versus you put them on the bigger field where they have to have a little more structure. And it's just a lot more thinking. So as soon as they stop thinking and it just becomes a natural progress for them, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. But I really enjoy the diversity of our team. It really makes just the conversations with the kids, watching their excitement day to day. You know, on my side, we work real hard at Jefferson to make sure our kids do really well in the classroom as well. And, you know, making sure they have the support they need to be successful in that classroom, because a lot of these kids will be first-generation college kids or first-generation community college or first-generation trade programs. And so I'm just real excited to see these guys learn about working hard, being a part of a team, and understanding that, you know, there's a lot here for them, and they have a lot of support. And I think between JP and I, we've really enjoyed working with these kids. And we've had some kids go between our two schools because, again, families are a little bit sometimes nomadic based upon how their jobs might line up. And then we've also kind of redistricted a little bit of our ELL program within the district. So it's been a lot of fun to see the boys that I've had be on his side, and I know he's enjoyed watching the guys on my side as well. So
yeah, and I think it brings about camaraderie, don't you guys
for sure
agree on the team?
Yeah,
it's great.
That's fun to see the boys. Like, I know a bunch of my boys went up to their game after our game yesterday because I like to go cheer them on, and I know I've seen some of his boys down at our game because we always play at 4:15 because we don't have lights on Lower Kingston, and so they always play their first game around 5:45 or somewhere around there. So they get to go watch the varsity game up there after we're done because we play first, and they don't start varsity till about 7:30. So the boys love going back and forth, and yeah, the transportation stuff is a big joke on our team where we have one van that carries about 8 or 9 of our ELL kids to everything. And it's just awesome the way they work with each other, and they're very much a team in that sense. But it's like literally one vehicle that hauls them all around, and that's just what they have. And our team's been real supportive of it when they can't make that happen. So
nice.
Yeah, something that you might take for granted. For instance, the other day, one of our younger kids got his first action at varsity, and after the game, he didn't really feel like he did very well, and I was just kind of talking to him about it. He's like, "Coach, I think it was the lights. It was the first time I played under lights." And it's things you just take for granted, like playing under the lights or playing on turf, playing in front of a crowd, just even on a field with lines, we take for granted. And some of these kids have never done that. I mean, he's wearing a pair of my shoes. He doesn't even have a pair of cleats, so I gave him my cleats. Those kind of things that we take for granted in society, it's so fun to be with these kids.
Yeah, it is. And you mentioned turf and grass, and Jayhawks play on grass, the Warriors play on the turf. The final team, I think, to play on the turf.
Last night was the final game.
That's right. It was it, huh?
Yep, that's it. I'm going to go grab some turf on Monday.
You didn't chop any of the turf up?
I asked the Jeff King, who runs Kingston, if I could come get a square, but he wasn't sure how it gets taken up, if it just gets all chopped up at once. We're not quite sure how it all works, but yeah, it's the final game on the turf. It doesn't seem like it's been 10 years,
for sure, but
flown by.
Man, I guess this shows how old Coach and I are getting when we used to play when it was grass and
mud
down the middle.
I always tell the kids the soccer field used to be where the hockey arena is. It used to go the other direction. They're like, what? I'm like, yeah, that's where we used to play when there was no grass. It was just clay.
Yeah.
But we did. I did offer Coach JP and the Wash Words if they want to come. We got a field on the backside. We would rent it out to them. With the AD, we were talking with Coach Deem last night and say we would rent it out to them if they need a little space just to help them out.
Nah, to help them out a little bit. So, yeah, you guys are going to be going over to Mount Mercy now for your home games, right?
We're going to. Us and the girls are going to play our final two home games at Mount Mercy. So thanks to Mount Mercy and Paul Gavin for letting us get on their field and get these final games in. That way Kingston can be ready for football and band, you know?
There you
go.
Got
to be ready in the fall.
Yeah, and with the brand new carpet on there. But you know what? Kingston's kind of, you mentioned the 10 years that we've had the field turf out there, and it's definitely helped as far as soccer is concerned, really.
It's helped soccer, and it's kind of weird to say it, but just when it's raining all day and you don't have to worry about what you're going to do. Coach O'Connor still deals with that with the grass field, and they had to cancel the other night. But it's really weird to not have to worry about that. And I think the district is doing a good job of they're going to do it. I don't want to say do it right this time around, but they're putting more into it initially with getting a better pad underneath and getting better turf that simulates grass a little bit better. So they're actually thinking about long term how to make it a better product for all the sports. So that's really exciting to see. And then obviously adding the eighth lane is a big deal for the track coaches, and they're excited about that, hosting those meets that are important also.
It'll be nice. And you're still, it used to be the days that, turf, we're gonna play a game on turf. That was unusual. Now it's the other way. It's almost, hey, we're going to play on grass.
It is. I mean, we are one of the last schools that has an on-site grass field that's not been newly constructed. I don't think there's another school that still plays on grass that's been a field that's been around for 20-plus years. I mean, West got their beautiful sand-based field. Liberty's building the same kind of field out there since Kibbe was at West first, and he's doing the same thing over at Liberty. But otherwise, almost everybody's moved to turf just because, I mean, I think just it makes sense, as you said. You know, I have to watch the weather every single day. I have to judge when can I mow based upon if it's going to rain or not, and then getting lines on the field. Like, the big issue for playing Waterloo West last week was not so much that it was the field wasn't playable, but the lines had completely washed off, and the custodial staff can't put paint on the wet field. So we had no lines. So that was really the deciding factor for not playing that game. But I am and always will be, I'll call it a traditionalist. I love grass, on playing the game on the grass. To me, turf does change the game a little bit. It's fun to watch. I always equate it to watching guys play indoor versus outdoor. The indoor game is just so much more speed to it, and the ball touch and ball skill is a little bit different. But our boys are proud to play on the grass field. They take that field seriously. They really do put a lot of work into it, and they're proud to be down there and know that it's theirs. As much as they say we should get a dome and some lights, and I keep telling them, as soon as they get famous, I'll put your name all over that thing, and we'll make it a dome for you.
Well, with your team's speed, you ever think, boy, this would be a really fast team if you had turf?
You know, and we have seen that.
Enough on it.
Yeah, we've seen it, and you know, and what I said, the thing is, there's an adjustment period. where you, the weight of the pass on turf is so much different. So what you played in grass, it holds up so much better. So when we go on turf, it takes us about 20, 25 minutes to get used to the fact that you can't pass it with the same weight. So there's a, you know, we're all right once we get into that and get warmed up on it. But, yeah, this team is fun to watch. They're very athletic and very fun to watch. And you know, sometimes we get caught like we did against Wash. We got caught with a little speed up top, and they came back at us pretty quickly. And same thing for City High. We gave up two unfortunate PKs, which kind of put us down. And but otherwise, our team has been in every single game, and we feel real good about where we're at. And looking forward to the postseason.
Yeah, which is coming around the corner a little bit. And I know you talked about Bozek and other people like that. And maybe if there's some guys you want to throw out there. And then also your goalkeeping. I got to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've got, I mean, my back four, my goalkeeper is a product of what I'll call preseason mystery. I was really unsure of what our back line was going to look like. We graduated some really good seniors. But our two center backs, I've got Nestor Diaz, who's a freshman. And I've got Pasia Ngakani, who is a sophomore, a junior. And these two young men have, out of nowhere, become a really, really dynamic center back pair, of which I had no idea what I was going to expect. And one of them is very tall, wins everything in the air. The other one is built like a brick house and very difficult to get around and willing to body up against anybody. And then, as I already talked earlier, you got the two guys on the outside that have tremendous speed. But as soccer is, you know that you have to have somebody between the posts. And I have been blessed at Jefferson since I started that I've always had at least one goalkeeper that I felt was really, really solid. And that continues for us. I got a young man by the name of Jacob Cross. He's a sophomore. And he is extremely athletic. His ability to distribute the ball, we know that if he gets the ball at his feet, on a goal kick, he can put it well over half. And on a drop punt, he can put it from our 18 to the other 18 if necessary. And he's just a very, very confident young man. He's still got a lot to learn technique-wise. He hasn't had a lot of formal training in soccer. But it's one of those things, you got yourself a really true athlete. He's a multi-sport athlete. He plays football. He plays basketball. He plays soccer. He plays baseball. And I'm pretty sure he could probably play whatever sport he wanted to if he wanted to put the time into it. So real blessed with that, and he's been a great addition for us. Up front, a guy I mentioned, Exose Amisi. He's one of our young sophomore kids that's playing on our varsity roster this year. And he's a young man that's got a lot of speed. He continues to develop his ability to get the shot off. He's very good at his feet, but always forgets sometimes that he needs to release it and shoot that ball. But he keeps getting more and more dangerous. And then I've got our team kind of hype man. It's Theo Habimana. Theo is a young man who doesn't have a lot of background in soccer, but is fast as fast can be. And he is just tenacious. In soccer, I consider him to be a gnat-type player. You think he's gone, but he's not. He's right there next to you. He's always putting pressure up front, and we keep working with him very hard on shooting, because if he can ever learn how to really connect with the ball, he's going to be real dangerous for us at the end of the season and into next year, because, again, he's just a junior for us. So otherwise, my midfield, I've got Paul Mawari, and I've got Elijah Lindgren, which is a sophomore and junior, two young guys in the middle of the field. One has a battery that never stops. He's always going 100 miles an hour. And then I've got the one who's super calm and really controls that back part for us. And so those two players together have really been helpful for us in the middle. And they're just going to keep getting better since they're young and they have never played together. And as JP knows, your center mids have got to be able to play together, because they're the ones that control how things move. And they're getting better with each other. And they're just going to keep getting more and more opportunities the way that they keep learning with each other. So, yeah, real happy with the group that we have, and excited for future as we only really graduate two key seniors. Otherwise, everybody else comes back for us. So we're excited about that as well.
Yeah. How about the Warriors there, JP?
Yeah, the Warriors. I mentioned most of our fours are already with Keaton and Brooks, but we also have some juniors and sophomores that are pretty key to the program. Maybe John can help me with Mercy's last name. How do you say it?
Niragwenza.
Niragwenza. And Exuse, Kaya come to mind. They both had excellent games last night. And then we also have Anders Bergstrom, the last Bergstrom boy to come through. He's playing excellent this year. And then we also have Nico Font, who is an exchange student from Spain, who's kind of given us, like John said, you have some guys who are kind of crazy in the midfield, and then you need somebody that just kind of settles everything down. And Nico is that for us. He just keeps everything real basic. And it kind of just, he gives everybody else that release valve that they need. We also have Ethan Stout, who's actually our second leading scorer on the team. He's just a sophomore. He's kind of a sneaky athlete. He's one of the best, really good cross-country kid, along with Corey Nobles. Both those guys are outside midfielders, so they can run all day also. But Ethan has a nose for goal. And then we also have another sophomore, Kyle Neighbors, that plays in the midfield for us too. And then in the back line, besides Rami and Grant, we have Joe Jonathan and Calvin Hammer, that's a junior and a freshman that have been doing a good job, along with Muhammad Muamu, who is a junior who, you know, was one of those guys where we knew he was a good athlete and he loved soccer, but we just didn't know where to put him on the field. And he's kind of found a sweet spot at left back. So he's really been doing a great job and getting better every day.
How about the goal?
In goal, I have Will Bickle, a sophomore, who, similar to Jacob, is a multi-sport athlete and really smart kid. Does everything at school. You know, he's on the top singing stuff, dancing, everything. So he's a really good, solid keeper. And then Eric Lindzen is his backup, who played last night and got the shutout for us too. So we're very confident in both our keepers, and they put in their in good time. And like you mentioned, the injuries. We've had an injury bug all year. We finally got almost everybody back. We got one more guy that gets an X-ray on his pinky toe on Monday. Maybe we'll get Lars back, but he's a starter that's been out all season. So Lars Andersland, if we can get him back, then we'll finally be back to full strength and excited to make the final push.
Pinky toe. People are probably sitting there going, pinky toe.
I know, right?
There is nothing more painful than to have a pinky toe injury.
And it is. It was so weird because, you know, back before we had athletic trainers, and John and I played with a lot worse than pinky toe injuries, and we just didn't think it was going to be an issue. But just where it broke at was pretty serious, and it's taken 5 weeks to get better. Something you don't think is going to happen. So we're excited to get Lars back, and he was injured last year also. He had a bad back last year, so this has kind of been hard on him. So that's why I mentioned him, because he's ready to get back on the field and help his team out.
Mm-hmm. And you guys mentioned that we're getting closer and closer to the postseason. At least the sub-states came out recently, and you guys are separate.
Yeah.
First of all, the Jefferson Jayhawks will be at Davenport Central, Davenport West, Lynmar, Iowa City West, and North Scott. So kind of a potpourri of teams that you could see there. But everyone knows the Iowa City West soccer tradition. What, 13 out of 19 years? You said you've got to witness Iowa City West.
Yeah, we've been placed in their sub-state quite a few years. And, you know, I personally always love that challenge. I know some of our boys get a little, they're like, well, you know, let's spread the wealth around a little bit. But the reality is, yeah, as JP and I were talking about earlier, I mean, the MVC is loaded top to bottom. You're not going to find a way to get away from the teams that you know are going to be powerhouses. So I'm a big proponent of let's take them head on. We're going to get to see them right towards the end of the season, so we're going to have an opportunity to see what they've got and what we've got right away. We can then make some adjustments based upon that game. And I feel good about what we've got opportunity-wise. I mean, I think as our team continues to grow, I won't say people will not think about us, but I think they will come under the radar when they start looking at, you know, our record and what we've done in past. And we've always been that team that when it comes to the playoffs, I think most teams don't want to see us in the playoffs. We're very scrappy and always work hard. And one of the things that we work hard at Jefferson is make sure that we are always more fit than the other team on the other side. And we like to push the envelope, and this group can really, really do that. So hopefully we can continue to improve the kind of skills of the game, and we'll be able to then put those two pieces together and be ready for that postseason push.
Now, how do they determine the matchups then? It's a seeding process, but do they do it with a mathematical formula? You guys get together? How does it work?
I'll let JP speak on this one, because he actually used to be a part of that process.
Yeah. There's kind of twofold. There's, they try to separate out the top two seeds so they can host, and those are based on the rankings. And then after that, it is based on a point system. You get 3 points for a 3A win, 2 points for a 2A win, and 1 point for a 1A win. And then they just add up your points, divide it by how many games you got, and then they try to, you know, pretty much seed it out of the point system after the rankings. So, I don't know, John will probably be a 2 or 3 seed. We'll probably be a 2 or 3 seed. We're with City High, and they'll be the number one seed. Again, we play them late in the season also, so we haven't had a chance to play them yet, but that's who we're kind of planning on. I don't want to overlook anybody, but it, you know, City High is going to be the number one seed in our bracket. So John and I have a chance to knock the Iowa City teams out. So looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they get the other teams, Burlington, Clinton, Davenport North, and Muscatine.
For sure.
Get to see.
And Muscatine has a little bit of a soccer tradition, and Davenport North is having a good season, a better season than they've had in the past, too. So those will be the two teams that I don't want to overlook, but we should be on a normal day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, of course, two new teams this year. So how did they come up with the scheduling then as far as soccer is concerned? You just play everybody once, or you play your division,
yeah,
or how does it work?
We play our division. You play your division, and then we have three or four crossover games.
Yeah.
Three or four crossover games, and that is kind of random. I don't know how they did it, to be honest. And so the crossover games, you know, our crossover games are pretty difficult this year. You know, I get Iowa City West and a couple other good teams, which, of course, I don't mind. I prefer that than just having kind of a wasted game. But, yeah, it's going to, since it's the first year, we're just going to kind of see how it goes. So it's the good thing that has come from that is in the past, we would play every team. So that was 13 games on your schedule. So you didn't really have much opportunity to play out of conference teams. So this actually opens up the chance for us to go play Waukee. Next year, we're going to get Pleasant Valley, who's ranked like number 5. We're going to get them on the schedule too. And John and I now started a tournament together. So we play a couple other Davenport teams. So the good thing about our conference is those changeover games or crossover games can be random, and that might affect, you know, conference standings or rankings and that sort of thing, which to me is not that big a deal, but it does give us a chance to get some out of conference games and play good competition that way also.
Right. And one of those two new teams you're going to play coming up next week on Tuesday, you got to go up to Epworth to play Western Dubuque. I imagine they play in a grass field, right?
They play on a smaller
field. Yeah, they play on their football field.
Okay.
Yeah, which is a little smaller.
Is it grass?
It's grass.
Okay.
Yep. And it was very well. I mean, we played there right away. That was our first game of the season out there when it was the horrible snows and stuff, and the field was still a little frozen when we were up there. But, I mean, it's a nice little field. I mean, it's a little tight, I mean, which is where you see the old Kingston days where throw-ins were like corner kicks, and so you got to be aware of those kinds of things. But, Western Dubuque is an up-and-coming team. It's tough to come into the MVC. they've been welcomed, and I think that they'll respond very well as time goes on. But, yeah, that's a big shift in terms of the type of play you're going to see versus what they were used to before they came to the MVC.
Yeah, very much true, and because this is a there's so many good teams in this conference, and you guys get Waterloo West at Lower Kingston Monday. You go back to back, I think, Monday and Tuesday next week.
Yeah, we go Monday, then we're off the road on Tuesday to go up to Wallert, and then we play Corey Brinkmeyer on Friday out at Linmar.
Yeah.
So we'll be busy. Although Monday's not looking so good weather wise, Scott. You got to work on that for us because it's supposed to rain all day on Sunday and Monday. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I can do a lot of things I can't do.
And Linmar is a good example of how tough the conference is. And like Linmar and Xavier, Xavier's been eking out, like getting close wins, where Linmar's been getting all these close losses. And Linmar's a team, I forget what their record is now, probably like 3-8, 3-7, something like that. But they're really good. They're a good, solid team. Yeah. And that's just, it's hard in this conference to, when you can lose a couple games in a row and lose your confidence and we mentioned like good teams like Linmar and Prairie, but then Cedar Falls and Waterloo West are no joke either. They constantly get better, and they always have players that can be game changers. So there's nowhere to hide for sure in this conference, and it makes us all stronger. But it's difficult for everybody.
Right, and Corey does such a good job over there at Linmar, and the soccer fraternity I know is a very close, tight-knit fraternity. You guys all went to school together, it seems.
Yep.
And, we sure did. So, yeah, myself, JP, and Corey all played together. And then, of course, Coach Amir out at Xavier was our coach. We like to remind him, though, that we brought him in. So, and outside of that, I think JP's got some of his former players that are coaches. And also Liberty's coach is Ben Watson, my former player. It's just great to see that, and as you know, in today's day and age, the coaching job is it's getting difficult. There's a lot of turnover in coaches. I know that at Jefferson, it hit me pretty hard this year when I was talking to my AD, and he's like, we were talking about length of time of head coaches, and he goes, you know, you're now the longest tenured head coach we have at Jefferson. And I still see myself as a young buck. I don't know why I could be that old. But, I think between myself and I think soccer in general in this area has got a really long group of coaches who have been around for 19-plus years in most of their positions. So something that really I like. It really allows for, you know, the programs to keep being competitive. And I know I always enjoy playing JP. I enjoy playing Corey. And I know we're going to have a tough game every time we see them. So
Yeah. Still want to win, though.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you. There's one coach I have not beat in my career, and it's this guy sitting right here. Otherwise, I beat every other coach. But this guy right here, I can't seem to beat. I keep telling him, just, you know, he and I go one-on-one. I might got a chance, but he's still in shape, so I don't know if it's going to work out well for me.
Well, wanted to get have you guys talk about your coaching staffs before we close up shop today. Who's helping you at Wash?
Yeah, I have my longtime assistant, Mike Drinkall, who's been with me 15 of my 18 years. So that is, like John said, it doesn't happen anymore. And to have somebody that I completely trust and I don't even have to say anything to, he has his group of kids. He helps me with my kids. And it's so easy. And I'm so thankful for Mike. And my JV2 coach is Boris Lacona, who played for me at Wash for 3 years. And then he played for me at Mount Mercy for 5 years. So we've known each other for a long time. He's kind of like a son to me. So when you get those kind of guys giving back to the program, it makes everything worth it. And they can talk about, you know, they know exactly what it was like to play for me 10 years ago and know what we're looking for in players and what we, as John mentioned, what we expect in the classroom, on the field, in the community, all that kind of stuff. So having those guys part of my program makes me really proud, and it's really fun to have them.
Yeah, and they know the Jones Park days.
Oh, the kids talk about. I know the group of seniors that are graduating this year. There's a last. We used to practice out at Jones, even when we stopped playing at Jones. They remember the Jones Hill. Like, don't get coached that to that point where we have to go over to that hill. That's the young guys don't know about the Jones Hill. I'm gonna have to take them over there just to let them see it and enjoy it.
Absolutely,
it's glorious. How about it, Jefferson helping you out, John?
Similar JP, I've got Tom Jackson, who's my JV1 coach. He and I have been together now. It might be 13 plus years. I don't know if I have that number in my head, but. Just like JB said, I never have to think about what he's doing. He knows exactly what I expect, and he's always willing to tell me things if he thinks I'm doing something. And he's like, you know what, hey, maybe you should try this young man. And we've just got that relationship where we constantly have each other's backs. And the one nice thing I think, and JB kind of alluded to it, is, you know, one of the big parts of high school coaching is taking care of the kids in the school. And the fact that I've got two coaches in the building, we can really work with kids on their academics, making sure they're taking care of classes. And Coach Jackson's just an absolute huge help to me. I couldn't do what I do without him on the field as well as in the building. His personality draws kids, so you get a lot of kids that stay out and play for us. You know, sometimes kids that are in that JV1 and might never take the bridge and never make the jump to varsity, sometimes it's tough being that junior and senior on that JV1, but Coach Jackson makes that program such a great environment, and you know, but still pushes them, and so the kids are really respectful of him. And then on the other side, I've got assisting me is Ali Aliasiri, who is a former player of mine. He's got oodles of experience both in collegiate play, semi-pro, and he's just an absolute wealth of knowledge. And as I like to say, he's also the coach that when we do things and I need somebody on the field to show it at full speed, he's my man, because when I say full speed and I show it, it's more like slow motion. So it's nice to have somebody who can still get out there and really, really push that envelope. And as JP said, he's a former player, knows exactly what I expect. He can talk about the days when he was there about, you know, this is not new. This is exactly what we do. And then my last coach is my JV2 coach, another former player, Reese Succo. He's been with me off and on a little bit, and he is an absolute great coach. I really expect to hopefully stays in coaching, and one day I'll see him maybe in a head position somewhere. He really does a great job. He understands the game. He's very dedicated to the coaching idea. He knows that coaching is not just showing up to practice and then going away. There's stuff to be done outside of that, and he's fully dedicated to it, to the point where he really kind of manipulated his job to the point where he knew he could be at practice. And that just shows me that somebody really is dedicated to the coaching craft, and especially the Jefferson program.
Yeah, great to have surrounded by good people. And that's what keeps things going out there. So a couple more weeks of regular season soccer, and then we're into the tournaments. So it goes quick.
It does.
Hopefully good weather.
Yes,
it's going to be.
We'll keep it.
Hopefully good weather for everybody out there. But, guys, appreciate you coming down. It was fun, and best of luck for the rest of the season to the Jayhawks and the Warriors. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
Thanks so much, Scott.
All right, we'll take a break, come back, and wrap things up in the Coach's Corner right after this here on KGYM.
No, can't go there. It won't fit.
What if you move that tub over and then shove the kids' toys under there?
Tried it.
How about
Babe,
it?
Babe, we just don't have the space. Either we get more storage, or we need to get rid of one of the kids.
Oh, honey!
Mommy, Daddy, get a room!
Get a room for your extra things at Quality Care Storage. From tiny to gigantic, they can fit whatever you've got. Quality Care Storage. Rooms that are well-lit, well-staffed, and temperature-controlled so you can be well-organized. Reserve yours now at qualitycarestorage.com.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
We need to work as a team at this company, so today we're going to do a team-building exercise called Trust Falls. Sally, I want you to close your eyes, fall, and I'll catch you.
Okay.
One, two, three. Ooh. Okay, lesson number one, fall forward.
Ow.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring is prime home buying season, so if you're thinking about buying a home, right now is the time to lock a low rate, which can save you money every month on your new mortgage. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Back on the Coach's Corner to wrap things up for this Saturday morning. Want to thank our guests, J.P. Graham from Washington, John O'Connor from Jefferson, talking boys soccer with you on this program today. Later on, the Twins and the Yankees at 11:30 on 107.5 FM for you. And then at 2:30, it'll be the Cardinals and the Cubs coming your way. And that will start off on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM. And then it'll be 106.3 and 107.5 FM splitting off at 4 o'clock for coverage of the 145th running of the Kentucky Derby. Then tonight, NBA basketball, Houston and Golden State going at it. I want to thank my guest, Scott Unesh, thanking you for listening to the Coach's Corner here on KGYM.
Justify a two-length lead as they come to the final 16. Good magic on the outside.